Hockey Show right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network, broadcasting live from the Hockey This Week studios here in New York and the great city of Boston. My name is Paul Cuthbert, manning the board here in New York, and it's time to bring the host of our show, Mr. Sean Hutchins. Sean, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paulie. I'm great. And you?
I am good. Spring is in the air. The weather's getting nice. We got NHL playoffs cranking. It's a great time of the year. Unfortunately, the Boston Bruins are not involved this season, but maybe they just need a little bit of a break. But here we are. It's Friday. We got the weekend ahead of us. How are you, sir, and what's going on today?
Well, I'm doing great, and you're right. It's Friday afternoon, and people are gearing up for the weekend and some vacations and things. School vacation is hitting Massachusetts at the end of the school day today, so people are getting ready for taking off and going to some warmer climates already. Although spring has sprung here, it's warm. It's a little cloudy today in Boston, but it's a great day, and it's always a great day for hockey, and it's a great day to talk hockey.
Absolutely.
It looks like today, we do have a lot to talk about, even though the Bruins are out of the playoffs, as you mentioned. We did just have the Frozen Four come to a conclusion last week with the two local teams, Boston University and Providence College, taking part in the national championship game. We also, of course, have the wrap-up. We need to wrap up the season for the Bruins and see what's going on maybe in the future. We also had the firing of Peter Chiarelli, the Boston general manager, is no longer calling the shots here. So that's something that we need to go over. And, you know, that brings about questions about Claude Julien's future as coach of the team. So I'm sure we'll touch upon that. And then, of course, we have the playoffs in gear, as you said, and there's some exciting games already played, even though each series has only had game one. But, boy, we've had some great hockey and a couple of maybe you want to say controversial incidents happen as well. So there's always plenty to talk about when it comes to hockey, isn't there?
Absolutely, Sean. No doubt about it. So where do you want to get started? I mean, obviously all the big news in Boston, with the firing there. But actually, the Frozen Four, we touched on this last week in terms of Jack Eichel and the stage for him with BU and everything. Well, why don't you take it away here? The Flyers end up winning some key guys on that squad as well. But take it away. What did you take from the tournament and the win? Maybe talk about the game a little bit as well.
Sure. I mean, it was an outstanding college hockey game. It looked like Boston University was going to seal the deal after two periods. They had 40 shots on goal, but they only had a one-goal lead. Providence Friar goaltender John Gillies was just outstanding, was really the player of the game, and gave his team a chance to win, and that's exactly what happened. The Friars came out into the third period and scored a couple of goals, and a real fluky goal, of course, if people saw the Boston University goaltender Matt O'Connor caught a puck, caught it in his glove, and it just somehow, some way, rolled out of his glove in between his feet and into the goal for the game-tying goal. And then Providence went on to score the game winner shortly after that. And it's a great win for Providence College. It's a great win for the Hockey East Association, and just great for them to have two teams in the final. But it was one of the greatest hockey games, greatest college games that people have seen in this area in a long time. As you said, Providence has just a boatload of talent on that team. They only graduate five players. Unfortunately for Friars, goaltender John Gillies did sign with the Calgary Flames just a couple of days ago and skated in his first practice with the team out in Vancouver. And so they have a bit of a hole to fill there, but I know the two goaltenders pretty well who they have waiting in the wings. I coached one, and I've known the other one, Nick Ellis. I've coached him. The other goaltender they have, Brendan Leahy, has been a friend of the families for quite a few years. And Providence College has what it takes to repeat next year, so it'll be fun. And of course, Coach Nate Lehman, we've got to give a shout-out to him. Winning the national championship this year, came over from Union College, which won last year's national championships, and that was the team that he pretty much put together. Those were his recruits at Union. So he can almost claim two national championships in a row. So they've got a great future over there, and they've got a great future with Boston University as well. Jack Eichel no doubt will be leaving the team after he's drafted this June, first round, first or second pick for sure. But overall, the team has the future is bright for both teams, and Boston University will definitely bring some more thrills to the city of Boston over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had asked you last week about that in terms of just hockey in Massachusetts, you know, compared to, you know, the state of hockey in Minnesota. And then obviously the junior leagues up in Ontario and you know, eastern Canada up there. So this is great. You know, it's a great platform. You know, you talked about Gilly's great signing there with Calgary. And, you know, I asked you last week, too, about this this stage being set here for Eichel and compared to McDavid, you know, and who's going to go one or two. And obviously the draft lottery is tomorrow night. The NHL is going to do that. I wanted to ask you now, I mean, does this taint Eichel's, you know, season here at all, losing this this game? And also talk about the future of Matt O'Connor, too. I mean, unfortunate, you know, with the flub there on the goal, the fluke goal and everything else. But talk about those two guys. Your thoughts on those two players in terms of with regards to their future, you know, whether it's just simply, hey, they're going to be fine, don't worry about it, or if you think there might be any kind of effect. And are there any other guys here on the Friars, too, that, you know, with winning the championship is going to help them? I know there's a couple of guys on the Friars that, that have already been signed by NHL teams, and maybe you can touch on that as well, too.
Sure. Going with BU to start with, as you mentioned, Jack Eichel, not winning the national championship, I really don't believe will affect his draft status at all. He didn't, his stock didn't drop off at all in the eyes of the scouts that who I spoke with, and a couple other people who I know have spoken with some scouts, and they're just saying the same thing. They can't rave enough about him. Some scouts have him ranked number one. Other scouts have him ranked number two. So come draft day, it'll come down to who's drafting first, and what they need, and we'll see who they choose at that point. Jack Eichel has pretty much won every award there is this season with the Hobie Baker Award. Hobie Baker Award. He was a scoring champion nationally. He of course led Hockey East in scoring. He led the nation in plus minus. So I mean, his stock continues to rise, and the sky's the limit for him. The BU goaltender Matt O'Connor. There was that fluky goal as we just spoke about, but you know, same thing. The scouts really are just raving about him. He's been approached by about five different teams right so far with the contract offers because he is a junior. He could go back to BU for another season. He's been pretty quiet about what he plans on doing, but all indications are that he will sign with a team this summer or this offseason anyway. It's just a matter of where he goes because whoever gets him will be getting a real quality impact player in Matt O'Connor. Providence College, same thing. I mean, you got Trevor Mingoya, you have Rob Florentino, you have players who are still a bit on the young side, but again, they don't play outside of themselves. They play within their roles. They play to their strengths. And I mentioned Coach Lehman again. He puts them in situations where they will succeed, which every good coach does with his players. And you're going to see Providence College Friars start dotting rosters, more and more rosters, over the next two or three years. And Calgary Flames own, of course, they've signed Gillies, but they also have Mark Jankowski. They drafted him in the first round a couple of years ago, who scored a couple big goals in this NCAA tournament. So look for Calgary to really, if they're in the playoffs this year, they've improved quite a bit. They will continue to improve once they add these players to their lineup as well.
No, absolutely exciting, Sean. It's all great stuff. And the other thing I was looking at here, too, and we talked about this, and something I want to do here on the network, too, in the future is continue to promote the American and USA program here and obviously Boston Hockey. You know, you're educating me, Obi-Wan, in terms of all the programs and the players here and obviously the big colleges in New England and so on and so forth. And, you know, the numbers, ESPN with the broadcast, a little over 635,000 people tuned in compared to last year, which was 717,000, just the numbers here from SB Nation that I'm looking at. So close to, you know, some big numbers there in terms of, you know, exposure, you know, for the programs, for the teams, and obviously for these players. So great stuff there, Sean. Last touch on this tournament and how it was produced and your thoughts on those types of numbers in terms of people tuning in and, you know, the coverage that ESPN gave it. Your thoughts on that?
I think the numbers are great. As you just stated, over 600,000 people this year, over 700,000 last year. Those are great numbers for a sport that is still termed a regional sport. Although, from those who follow hockey daily, we know that that's really not the case any longer. But the college game, I think, yes, it is a regional sport still. So to see two schools that are so close together within New England playing for the national championship, to bring in over 600,000 viewers, that says an awful lot for college hockey. It says an awful lot for the sport of hockey, and it'll continue to grow. Adding Arizona State University to Division I, that's huge, because now we're going to see more and more Western schools become Division I programs over the next 3, 4, 5 years, and you'll get more and more viewers for these games. The whole organization of the NCAA tournament was second to none. It was just first rate all the way. And ESPN, they do a really fine job of covering the games. I wish that instead of putting some of the games on ESPN2, that they would put it on the main ESPN station, which they did. The semifinals were on ESPN2. But having it on the main ESPN station, I mean, that will attract more viewers if they can do that with the semifinals as well as the final. But overall, it was very, very impressive to see how the entire production was organized and just went off without a hitch.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff. It's exciting for us here in the States, obviously guys like yourself and us down here in New York covering the sport. It's great. And you know what's going on out there out west there, Sean, with Arizona and everything else. They're getting ready for the NHL in Vegas and Seattle, buddy. You know, they gotta build it up out there. You know that's going on out there, right?
Oh, absolutely. No question. You know, it's, Vegas is adding collecting money, I guess, now for season tickets, and they're up around 10,000 orders. And they want to have hockey in Vegas, and I can understand why. You know, the people would love to go out there during the wintertime, get away from the cold, the snow, get out there, have some fun, and, hey, let's go see an NHL game as well. So that'll be huge. And the people in Nevada, they're ready for it. They're eager for it. And it'll create another great regional rivalry, that's what I'm trying to say, with Arizona and with the California teams.
Absolutely. And you know, buddy, the Bruins get out there and play a game out there on the road. You know, we're going to have to do the Boston Hockey Show from the MGM Grand or something like that. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I yes.
Sounds good. So let's take the turn here, Sean, and you tell me where you want to start. Maybe if you want to, last week obviously was after the 4-2 loss to the Panthers. That had the day off, and basically it was the Sens just kept doing what they were supposed to do there. And obviously, long story short, the Sens are in, Bruins are out. They lose that game to Tampa, but it was pretty much sealed that afternoon. And I believe Pittsburgh had an impact on it as well. But you take it away if you want to start from there. The wind down of the season, and then like I said, the Bruins don't make the playoffs. And then we have the firing, and I'm going to ask you to just take it away here, sir, and guide us and get your thoughts on everything that happened here to wrap up this Bruins season.
Okay, yeah, thank you. It has been quite a whirlwind existence over the last couple of weeks here in Boston, where at one point the team went on a run. Within the last 8 games, they won 5 consecutive games. They moved from the second wild card spot into third place in the division. They looked good. Things were looking very good. It was. Hey, let's get ready for the playoffs. The team had even sent out the emails and just made it known. Hey, the playoff tickets will be on sale soon, and we're taking orders from the season ticket holders for playoff tickets. Everything looked really good for the team, and then they just went out there and the last 3 games they needed to win 2 out of the last 3, and it just didn't happen. They dropped all 3, and as you said, they needed help. It ended up that they were going to need some help with Pittsburgh and the Buffalo game. And so basically after the second period of the game, Bruins game in Tampa Bay, where it was a tie game, we came across that Buffalo had indeed lost to Pittsburgh. And so pretty much the season ended at that point right there. So the Bruins were playing in Tampa, but their season ended in Buffalo. And which is, it's a shame, because it's really a shame that it came down to that point, because it never should have. This team was talented enough, skilled enough, big enough, physical enough when it wanted to be, to not put itself in that position from the start of the season. It should never have come to that part. But it did. And, as you said, there was the day off, and then there was the breakup day with the players and the new press conference with Peter Chiarelli and Claude Julien. And the players, I'll hand it to them. They said, hey, we just weren't good enough. We had a bad year. We didn't play well enough. We played well when it seemed like we played well when it counted. And again, to a man, it was, I should have played better. And you can't really argue with that. I mean, there were players who had injuries. David Krejci was injured twice during the season. Milan Lucic started the season with an injured wrist. But, you know, they sound like excuses. They can be used as excuses, but these things do happen to all teams. And some teams, the good teams, the champion teams, as we have seen here in Boston in the last few years, the champion teams find a way to play through those things. This team just didn't, for whatever reason. And there were a few players who mentioned that they felt that there was something off, you know, and I'm quoting, quote, off, end quote, in the dressing room during the season. And I'll tell you what, I kind of felt that as well. Over the last two or three seasons that I covered the team, going to the dressing room after a game, after practice, even whether it's whether it was a win or a loss, if it was a game, and you felt a looseness in the room, it was an upbeat room. This year, from day one, that feeling just wasn't there. It was you could feel as if there was some tension in the air, some stress was there, because I think at the start of the season they really weren't sure what direction they were going to go in with new players coming up from the minors and losing Johnny Boychuk and Jerome Iginla. That was something else that the players mentioned last week. Losing Johnny Boychuk and Sean Thornton as well really hurt the chemistry in the room, because those were the guys who kept things upbeat, make things loose. And they just weren't there to do it anymore. And the other players' personalities, some of the younger guys tried, but of course they were the younger guys, so they're still trying to find their way. And the leaders of the team, you have, of course, Captain Zdeno Chara. He speaks when he needs to speak, and the players listen to him. Patrice Bergeron is kind of a quiet guy, and you get the feeling that he's the same way. When something needs to be said, he'll say it. Chris Kelly, David Krejci, same thing. But it just seemed like they just seemed to be missing that little spark to get them over that hump to continue their winning ways. And I think that it was a big reason for the season that they had. I'm sorry, I was going to say, so it's just now, but moving forward, there'll be some changes. What kind of changes are coming? We don't know, but there may be a couple major changes in player personnel and to change the face of the team a bit. Cam Neely has said that he wants the team to return to its being its kind of the physical play, almost at the Big Bad Bruins, if you will. He didn't use that phrase, but as they have been known here for so many years, he wants to bring back that style of hockey. So to do that, there will need to be some changes.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Sean. And, you know, the Bruins aren't alone in this. And, you know, the theme across here towards the end of the season, and, we talked about it a little bit, and we've talked about it on other shows here, you know, the Bruins and the Kings, these are teams that have gone very deep into the playoffs the last few seasons, you know, Stanley Cup Finals, championships, every team is in a different situation, Sean, whether it's the age, you know, of certain players. And then there's certain trades. You know, you talk about Boychuk, being pulled from the Bruins. That was a huge player, to have to, be let go for the Bruins there. And, as well as, like I said, just the makeup of the team, things change a little bit. Teams get tired, and this is, it all kind of falls into this where, the top teams will eventually fall. But like I said, they're not alone. The Kings have gone through it too. They have to kind of rebound as well. And then, as it does end in failure like that, Sean, you know, the fans kind of got to hold their breath here, and all the stuff you talk about in terms of the changes, and then it begins. And it's surprising maybe to me and a lot of people, probably, Sean, in terms of the pundits and or the people, who cover the league like yourself too, and I want to ask you this too. Chiarelli's firing. You know there were going to be changes, but did you think it was going to start there?
I did. I really did. I kept hoping that it wouldn't, because just his track record has been great. You know, he took a team that in 2006 did not qualify for the playoffs, built them into a Stanley Cup champion in 2011, returned to the finals in 2013, won a President's Trophy last year. He built that team into, prominence again. And instead of, they went from being the laughingstock of the league back to the Boston Bruins. And I thought that they would maybe give him one more season, but there were too many things that had occurred, and there were some rifts between himself and from what I'm being told anyway, there were some rifts between himself and Cam Neely, and they just had to part ways. So I wasn't surprised, but by seeing Chiarelli lose his job, but I was disappointed that he had, and many of us who do cover the team and follow the team are disappointed as well.
Yeah, and talk about maybe some of the comments here that the guys made. Was there anything, like I said, you're in the locker room, you've been covering this team for years now too. I mean, was there anything that maybe kind of set you back in terms of what maybe Jacob said or Neely said with regards to Chiarelli, or was it pretty much, you know, the company line when an NHL team or any sports team has to make these kind of changes to reboot the franchise? Any thoughts there in terms of any of the comments that these guys made in the conference?
Well, I think there was one that stood out to me in particular, in that Neely did say that he wants to return to a more physical game. He also commented that the transition game from defense to offense, when transitioning the puck, he said the team looks slow. He just said that he thinks the team can generate more offense. And to do that, you know, the GM needs to make some changes. And, you know, he said that the difference was that between himself and Chiarelli has said, and he said it again last week, or earlier this week, that the game is changing. The game is going to more skill and more speed, which it is. But so, I mean, you can see there is a real divide there. The general manager, well, now former general manager, was trying to transition that team into more of a team like Montreal, like New York Rangers, based on speed and skill, whereas his boss, Cam Neely, wants a more physical team that has speed and has skill. And those players right now, those are still hard to find. New York has found quite a few of them, but the team that comes to mind right off the top of my head that does it the best is the Anaheim Ducks. You know, but they have a great mixture. They have speedy, skilled players mixed with skilled, big, physical players. But, those players are hard to find. If they were easy, every team would play like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Sean. And a couple of other things here with regards to, I want to get your thoughts on who you think might be the best candidate to come in here and replace Chiarelli. But obviously, we got to look at Claude Julien, too, here as well. Neely stated that him and Jacobs addressed him, I believe it was on Wednesday, in terms of going forward. And they told him that they're going to wait for the search for the GM, and they're almost basically saying they're going to let the GM make that decision. Your thoughts on them stating that, and who's your thoughts on a replacement here? Maybe somebody you'd like to see that might fit into this mix here, and honestly, your thoughts on Julien staying here for the future?
Yeah, they have said that they'll speak with him, and this was just on Wednesday. He said over the next 2 or 3 days, so something may come about today or tomorrow or Monday, but would really like to see Claude Julien have another year. He has 2 years left in his contract. It would really be ideal in my mind that he's allowed to finish that contract just because of the coaching job that he's done. He's won 54% of his games. That doesn't sound like a big number, but in the NHL, that's a highly successful coach. And again, winning the Stanley Cup, getting to the finals, winning a President's Trophy, getting deep, 2 or 3 deep runs in the playoffs. He's a great coach. There's no doubt about it. And I would hate to see him lose his job. But again, with a new general manager coming in, and it looks like, and from every indication, what I'm hearing, the new general manager will be Don Sweeney, who was Peter Chiarelli's assistant GM, and mm-hmm. Don is the general manager of the Bruins AHL team, the Providence Bruins, so who are starting the playoffs next week. So I'm hearing, it's all speculation right now, but these are really strong sources that I've been speaking with, that Sweeney, once the AHL playoffs are over for the Providence Bruins, Sweeney will be elevated to Boston Bruins general manager. And then he'll decide on Claude Julien's future. Again, I think Claude should get another year or two, but it's up to whoever the new GM is, they have the prerogative to bring in a new coach. And if that happens, there are a few names out there. I personally like the name of Dan Bylsma. Again, another highly successful coach. The Bruins are a team that are fitted for the style that he coaches, and I think he'd be a great coach. I'm hearing that the front runner for the Bruins job would be Adam Oates, the former Bruin player. He's coached in Washington, and kind of keeping it within the family, so to speak, so that where Don John Sweeney also played for Bruins. So Right now, it looks like the two front runners are Don Sweeney for general manager and Adam Oates for coach.
Wow. You know, I love Claude Julien. I think, you know, I hope he gets a second chance. And you know, a lot of the things that you brought up, sometimes, you know, coaches with that kind of a resume, you know, Stanley Cup championship and another, you know, a couple of trips to the finals actually there with that kind of a resume. You know, a guy like Julien, to me, as far as I'm concerned, he just needs the pieces. And maybe he just didn't have it and you got a tired team here, which we talked about before. But ultimately, we will see what happens. And it'll be interesting on that in terms of that GM choice that you brought up. Sean, what I got to ask you, and you got to fill me in here because I'm just seeing this and stuff, and loved Cam Neely as a player growing up and obviously in the 80s and the 90s there, but what kind of influence, how long has Cam been at the helm here as president of the team? And talk about his influence and his, you know, I know he was always a fan favorite, and you talk about the big bad Bruins, and you know, when you think about that, you'll think about guys like Cam Neely and even, you know, God, I can't even think of his name. listen to me. You can think of these guys, and I can't even think of them. You know, what kind of – let me just cut to the BS here. What kind of a guy is Cam Neely with regards to this franchise? What kind of – and I meant Mike Milbury. That's the guy I was thinking of. The big guy. That's the guy. I can't believe it. He's on NBC, NBC every night. Anyway, talk about Cam Neely, his influence, and his favor amongst the fans in terms of having the helm of this team.
Well, yeah, he's Cam Neely is Cam Neely. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and for great reason. He was a great player. In Boston, the man is a god. He you know, you never hear anybody speak negatively about Cam Neely because of what he did on the ice as a player. He's been team president, I want to say, since 2007, and he's been really quiet. He's been behind the scenes quite a bit, and it just seems that now he's really beginning to assert himself. It seems as though now with some of the statements he made within the last two or three days, he wants to have more control over what goes on and off the ice. It looks like he will pretty much have the final say on who the next GM will be. He's going to let the GM decide on coach, but I think he'll probably sign off on who the actual coach will be. He says he doesn't like to micromanage, but I don't know. I just get the feeling, and from what other people told me, that he is beginning to do more and more of that. And he doesn't want to be general manager, but it seems like he wants to almost have part of that role. But yeah, the fans here, they would love to see him be the general manager, but obviously that won't happen because he doesn't want it. So it's interesting to see. Now he's, as I say, he's beginning to assert himself more, and it will be really interesting to see just how much control he has over this team, and I think it's going to be quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's interesting because, you know, I'm just watching him in the press conference. And, you know, you look at some of the other GMs in the league and even guys that are, you know, presidents now of their teams. You know, look at what Shanahan did there in Toronto, basically fired everybody except the season ticket holders there the other day. you know, you got Trevor Linden turning the program around in Vancouver, you know, and you could just talk about – and, you know, you see Hextall now. He makes a decision. He fires Berube. You know, these are these former – well-known players within the city and the organization that you played for, and now these guys are at the helms making these big-time decisions for the team. So it's just interesting to see. And like I said, Cam Neely was always, to me, that impressive, tough type there. And is there a good relationship between him and Jacobs and the ownership here? I mean, for outside of the obvious reasons, and I'm asking a guy like you who's in the locker room, around the organization, as far as the feel and the vibe, especially through a stressful time like this, you've been there now through the highs and the lows, the championships, and now obviously not making the playoffs. You know what I'm coming at there in terms of that whole circle of environment that a team needs from the top down. Just your take on that.
Yeah, I think he has a very good relationship with Charlie Jacobs, the new CEO, and Jeremy Jacobs, the team owner. It appears that that relationship has grown and become stronger over the course of the time that Cam Neely has been president. So, I believe that there is a strong bond. And, I mean, everybody wants what's best for the team. And, of course, someone needs to be that person to say, yes, this is best for the team, or no, it isn't. And, as I said, I think they've pretty much said, okay, Cam, that's your job. But and I think that shows how much they trust him and appreciate what he does for the organization.
Absolutely, Sean. I think it's going to be good stuff. You know, like I said, sometimes teams just need a break. Talking about it before, things change. You know, Julian, players, pieces, the salary cap, and the parity in the league right now. It's so tough. It's very challenging, and I think the Bruins will be all right. And, you know, I think they're in good hands here, but we'll see what happens. And you know better. So let me answer this. Final thoughts here, Sean, before we wrap up. The playoffs are started. Obviously, this spring you won't be in the locker room, unfortunately. But just as you look around the bracket here and the teams that have made it in, and, you know, even teams like Ottawa and Pittsburgh who got in here and had a major impact on the Bruins not getting in this year. But your take, we got a couple game ones under the belt. What have you seen so far? What do you like? What interests you so far with the playoffs?
Playoffs, until they get to the finals, I really believe that the first round of the playoffs are the most exciting round, just because you do have the regional rivalries going on. And, you know, you have the Islanders are back in the playoffs now with against Washington. That can go either way. I think it's great for the Island to see their team back in the playoffs, and of course they're leaving Nassau Coliseum. So what a better, there is not a better way, I don't think, for them to say goodbye to Nassau Coliseum than to be in the playoffs. And I think they've got a legitimate shot of winning that series. And there's could be an all New York conference final. And I know that would be just, people would go crazy over that down there. So, you know, that would be great because the old rivalry that used to exist between the Rangers and the Islanders would be back and maybe stronger than ever. You know, and you have, of course, as you mentioned, Ottawa and Montreal, English-speaking Canada against French-speaking Canada. That's a natural right there. And, boy, these two teams do not like each other. And we saw that just the other night as well. You know, that slash that P.K. Subban delivered to Mark Stone. You know, it's part of the game. But you're trying to win a championship, and it is part of the game. And unfortunately, Mark Stone was injured, and you hate to see that, but it happens. And you just have to, if you're Ottawa, you just need to find a way to play through that, and with or without Stone. But yeah, it's been outstanding hockey. You had Anaheim coming back from a 2-1 deficit to win their game last night. You had St. Louis the other night down 3-0, winning the game 4-3. Blackhawks. I'm sorry, it was the Blackhawks who were down 3-0. Won the game 4-3 in double overtime. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. And each and every night, there's something new and exciting. And it's just it proves why hockey's the greatest sport there is.
Yeah, and Sean, I got to ask you this too. You know, you sit back here and the game ones, and you look at it. We still got a week left here to in April, and you know the finals don't you know, end until June, and you sit back and you go, wow, it's amazing after such a long season how long the run is to the finals. Talk about your experience there covering the Bruins to that finish, and what's that like watching these guys physically and mentally take that journey?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. It really is fun to see. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to be a part of. But you can see what a grind it really is. I mean, they play through injuries that most people can't imagine from day one. And it's, you know, you say, how did you play through, like Patrice Bergeron playing a game with a punctured lung? I mean, does anybody do that in any walk of life, regardless of sports? You know, and you see guys playing with torn, their knees ripped apart, basically. You see guys playing with back injuries. It's just amazing, and you really learn how stressful it is for them physically, and then mentally and emotionally. I mean, to win a Stanley Cup, these players need to be 100% dialed in on that mission, is to win the Stanley Cup. And I mean, you could ask them, you know, about any world event, and they more than likely they probably would look at you and say, "Please tell me about it," because really, this is their focus, and they are so focused on winning that Stanley Cup. And that's the one thing that I really learned to appreciate is the mental preparation and just the going through that, the physical pain, going through the mental anguish of, okay, maybe you're up leading a series 3-0, 3-1, and the other team comes back, and all of a sudden you have a tied series, but you have to keep saying to yourself, okay, we're doing a lot of positive things here. Let's move forward. Let's continue those positive things. You can't allow yourself to think negatively. You can't allow yourself to get down about if you had a bad shift. It's just forget about it. Let's move on to the next shift. And these guys really do play each game shift by shift. It's not period by period, game to game. It's one shift at a time. And I really gained a true appreciation for exactly what it takes to win the Stanley Cup and what these guys go through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, fasten your seatbelts, everybody. We got another run here. Unfortunately, again, the Bruins are not involved with it. But, you know, things change, and you look to turn things around so you get back there the next year and the years to come. So, good stuff. Sean, I love doing this with you, man. It always goes so quick. Great show as well. Tell everybody where to find you online and what you do for the fourth period, and we'll wrap this show up and enjoy the playoffs this weekend, and we'll get back at it next week.
Oh, great. Thank you. I really enjoy it, too. It does fly by, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You can find me. I write at least once a week, especially the playoffs. Now it'll be more than that, but even though the Bruins are out with everything going on, it'll be more than that at thefourthperiod.com. And you have to spell out the word fourth, F-O-U-R-T-H. So it's thefourthperiod.com. I'm on Twitter. It's simply Sean Hutchin, at Sean Hutchin. And I tweet about anything and everything hockey, not just the Bruins. So it's a lot of fun to follow the playoffs along. It would be much more fun if the Bruins were there. It's a totally new environment for me to be sitting on the couch each game and tweeting from there instead of the press box. But as you said, though, the things change, and I would not be surprised to see the Bruins return to the playoffs next year. And you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens between now and then. But yeah, it's great to do this. It's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do it some more.
Absolutely. Well, we're lucky to have you here on the network, Sean. And next season, you know, this might be a 4-hour show. You never know where you're going to take this thing, buddy. So, all good.
With the way I talk, we might need to do that. Huh?
No problem, Sean. You're aces, man. Great show. Great talking with you. Enjoy the games tonight, and have a great weekend. And we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paulie. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Sean Hutchin, ladies and gentlemen, the Boston Hockey Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. If you miss the shows, don't forget they're always up at hcw2.com, the archives all the time. Boston Hockey fans, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Enjoy the games. Enjoy your weekend. More Boston Hockey Talk coming up next week. Take care.